It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your host from SteelersDepot.com, where you can find all your latest and greatest Steelers news. It's Dave Bryan and Alex Cazora, always lit, talking Steelers. And now, here's Dave and Alex.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, a special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2023. It is July 27th. I am Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com. And as you would expect, joining me on this nightly special edition podcast is the one and the only Alex Cazora, fresh off of his first trip out to Latrobe of the summer. So with that, Alex, happy Thursday night.
Happy Thursday, Dave. Really good day. First day out at St. Vincent College. Felt like we had never left. And so happy to be back. And I wrote this in my report. I'm really glad camp started when it did, because I was literally out of things to write about. I was at my wit's end to try to find some series and topics to uncover. So happy in so many ways that football is back.
Well, glad you made it out there and back safely, and hopefully you'll continue to. You obviously will be at all the training camp practices this year, and that includes Friday night lights. And after every practice, if it's, you know, probably not after the Friday night lights practice, but every other one of them, if there's anything to talk about, we'll be having these nightly episodes. We'll try to keep them to about 30 to 45 minutes. So with that, want to shout out our sponsor again this year, Alex.
I do. We continue to partner with Touring Plans, a very longtime sponsor of the Training Camp podcast. And so shout out to Len Testa, who's always been a great friend of the site back when it was just a couple of us at Steelers Depot trying to provide some camp coverage. And so Touring Plans is a great service. If you're planning a trip to Disney, want to navigate where to stay, where to go, kind of how to maximize your time there, because it can be so chaotic and so many things to do, and you're not quite sure where to start, you can go to touringplans.com, talk to them. They're great people over there, and they'll get you set. So I want to, again, thank Len Testa and Touring Plans for their support and sponsorship of our training camp coverage.
Absolutely. We appreciate you, Len, and you'll be hearing us talk about Touring Plans, you know, throughout these special edition podcasts like we do every year here. All right, Alex, where do you want to start?
I guess a little bit of the housekeeping side of things, not that there really are any injuries to talk about. And during practice, everyone seemed to be okay. Mike Tomlin speaking afterwards, I saw that your write-up included tight end Rodney Williams with maybe some of that heat fatigue. It's been hot, humid. It's going to be that way for at least through the weekend. So that's something to note. Minkah Fitzpatrick did not practice in team today. He looks fine, very minor, if anything. More snaps for the young safeties and guys trying to battle for a roster spot. Deontay Johnson did grab his knee at the end of one catch during team, limped back to the huddle or to the sideline briefly, but then returned and finished out practice. He's fine. So all good there. So as far as I can tell, granted, first day, no contact, but Pittsburgh healthy overall.
Yeah, and we'll just reiterate, this team went into training camp without having to put any players on the PUP or NFI list, and that in and of itself was great news, and looks like they came out of first practice okay. About Minkah, Mike Tomlin said it's really nothing, and really sometimes during camp, you know, they've got players that they know a lot about, and, you know, probably from time to time you're going to see players, you know, not get any action there. Some of the veteran players, and, you know, that's probably going to be par for the course. course. But it was a little bit surprising first practice. So there might be something minor going on with him. But we'll see how it goes with him moving forward. And the thing about Rodney Williams, this is a guy that was on the practice squad all of last year. Was it with I don't think he was with him during training camp, right? Last year, I think he was with the Broncos there. So this is his first trip out there, to training camp out at Latrobe there, and you know, heat related stuff. And Mike Tomlin talked about, you know, you got to have that availability, especially if you're younger guys on this roster fighting for a spot here. And when you look at the tight end depth chart overall, there's not a lot of players on it, you know. You got what? Pat Freiermuth, Zach Gentry, Connor Hayward, which is, you know, tight end slash fullback, Darnell Washington, and then Rodney Williams, and that's it. So Rodney Williams can't afford, you know, they can't afford to have Rodney Williams miss any time. Might end up costing them a roster spot here. So hopefully he gets back on the field soon here.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, Williams is kind of more of that receiver in a tight end's position setup. I think he was actually more of a true wide receiver. I believe he went to Middle Tennessee State, and so he's kind of got that leaner frame to him, but hopefully he can be out there tomorrow.
All right, where else would you like to start? You want to run through the position groups?
Yeah, we'll do it like we always do with quarterbacks to start. And again, it is day one. They're not in pads. It has a bit of a glorified OTAs feel. So we're not going to bring hot takes about this guy's incredible, this guy's terrible. It is just one day. We're going to analyze it. We're going to talk about it. But just off the top, there's nothing incredibly earth-shattering on that first day. Tuesday, the pads come on. That's when things will get really interesting. But quarterbacks, what I liked today was the first play in team session. Talk about needing big plays, explosive plays. Pittsburgh took a deep shot. They started out in empty. Then Najee Harris motioned in, and Kenny Pickett threw a deep ball down the right sideline, a go route to George Pickens, which was defended well and broken up by Patrick Peterson. But I just kind of love that mentality. Maybe that's a subtle nod, or maybe I'm reading too much into it of, you know, first play of training camp. Let's go deep and see what happens.
That doesn't hurt my feelings. And I think I might have already said this one time during a regular podcast. It wouldn't hurt my feelings. They come out in the first play of the regular season, and if they get the right look, take a shot down the field just to say, hey, you know, we're not afraid to do it when it comes to that. How did the arm look on some of those deep throws by him?
Good overall. I'm not going to sit here and pretend just because Kenny Pickett said yesterday he feels like his arm is stronger that I saw a completely different arm compared to a year ago. But I think obviously compared to a year ago, Pickett as a rookie that first week of camp had a pretty poor couple of practices, which was to be expected for a young guy in that situation. But a solid day today. Not going to pretend like it was incredible or this off the charts A++ type of performance, but good touch. It was a nice throw. In 7-on-7 to Anthony McFarland down the left sideline on a go ball over the linebacker Cole Holcomb. Good decision making overall. Good zip. There was a completion to Pat Freiermuth. The play after the deep shot incompletion to Pickens, which was on the money. So for Pickett, looked in command, looked in control, accurate. Good day for him.
All right. Trubisky after him. Then Rudolph. Did Tanner Morgan get any snaps?
Nope. We'll start Tanner Morgan rep counting watch here at a goose egg, which is going to happen unless one of these three quarterbacks take a day off or, you know, knock on wood, somebody were to go down, be unavailable, maybe late in camp. That's what happened to Oladokun last year, but all three of the quarterbacks ahead of him working. Mason Rudolph did have it seemed like a bad read that was thrown right at Elijah Riley and picked off for the first interception of camp, the only interception of the day. But overall, the quarterbacks were just fine.
All right, let's move on to running backs. Pretty big group overall. A lot of young guys in there, along with Anthony McFarland. Just kind of reading your tweets and the things out there. Sounds like Anthony McFarland put together a pretty good practice today, right?
Sure, and plenty of opportunities. And he was running clear third string running back, and nothing outrageous done with those opportunities. But he was solid, and he was split out, and he got work at gunner, even in special team sessions, which we'll see how that goes. It didn't go well for him last year, but all the ways he's trying to provide value and make this team. And so that's going to be good for him. Now, again, he's the veteran over the rookies and Hagans and Graham. And so, of course, you would expect him to get reps over those guys to start camp. We'll see how it looks later on throughout camp, but McFarland was fine. Even Jason Huntley had a good cut to his right and bounced a run for decent yardage. Now, again, it's no contact, can't tackle him. Running backs are going to look decent in these environments, but I just thought the opportunities were there for McFarland, and Huntley had that notable play, a run to the right side.
Mike Tomlin said not to read too much into the rotations here, but I want you to try to anyway. After McFarland, do you have kind of an order of how they went?
After that, there weren't really a lot of carries I didn't have in my notes for Higgins or Graham or Huntley. I know that Huntley had at least one. I'm not even entirely sure if Higgins or Graham even got a carry. Sometimes in these padless practices, you don't run the ball that much because it's a hard environment to evaluate in because there is no full contact. And so it's a bit more of a passing situation. They open up in the team session today, no seven shots. It was third and long situations. And so it was kind of more a pass heavy slanted type of day. So I'll try to pay more attention tomorrow. But the workload for those guys behind McFarland was pretty limited. It was really at the top of Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, and then McFarland with a little bit of Jason Huntley sprinkled in.
All right. Anything else to report on running backs? Or you want to move to wide receivers?
Some pony. It's training camp, so we got to talk about the pony backfield, right? I saw at least one snap with Warren as the deep back, McFarland as the slot back to the left, motioned across. And so, you know, obviously McFarland, if he makes the team, is not going to be in those situations often, but we'll see what they do with Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. Those guys are versatile. They can move around. And for a couple of snaps last year, there were some pony sets. And with Warren established and Harris healthy, that may be on the docket for this team.
All right, our gratuitous pony backfield mention at the start of training
camp. And Pistol. They ran Pistol twice today. So it's Pistol, Pony, all the greatest hits of training camp.
All right. Okay, wide receiver position there. It sounded like Deontay Johnson avoided a little bit of a scare there. Was it a slippage by him? You're going back to his college day.
Oh, right.
Going back to Toledo. He cuts so fast sometimes. He comes out, you know, he loses traction there. So, but that's all it was just a slip there.
Yeah, he slipped to stay in bounds to complete a catch. And so he grabbed his knee initially. So it looked a little scary. Then he kind of had a bit of a limp as he came back, but he missed one play, if that. So thankfully, he's good to go. How's Joe Burrow? Just to kind of switch topics briefly, are they calling him cashing? I just saw carted off. I never know what that really means. Sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes it's something. What's going on with him?
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a calf strain. So I think that's kind of the early words circulating right before we got on this thing at 7 p.m. Eastern time there. But it looked pretty scary. But I would imagine he's going to miss a little bit of practice time here. Move forward. If I'm him, I'm not sure I'd get back on that field right now.
I'm surprised he was practicing in the first place.
Right. All right. Anyway. We'll move along to the wide receiver position here. Calvin Austin III back in uniform, but doesn't sound like he had the greatest day.
No, he didn't. And again, it's just one day, so we're not sounding alarm bells, but we'll tell you how the day went, and it didn't go too well for Calvin Austin. Two chances to make some completions downfield. The first one, I believe, in that first team session, I think the pass was from Trubisky. It was a bit behind. I think Trubisky was trying to fit it where, you know, Austin could make a play without, you know, potentially getting popped or any sort of collision. And so he had to reach back for it, but he couldn't finish the play. And then later, I think also from Trubisky, deep shot, right sideline, really well thrown ball. It was contested well by the DB. I don't know if it was Porter or Norwood, one of those two, but Austin could not finish the play and it escaped his hands and rolled out of bounds along the right sideline. So this is a guy that I had these notes last year that, you know, he's got that small catch radius, the limited frame. And so trying to extend outside his body is tough for him to do. That was an issue last year before he got hurt, an issue today. So hopefully a better day tomorrow for Calvin Austin.
Could you pick up on that speed on him this early in camp or no?
I mean, I think at this point, because I saw him last year, you know, you kind of know that he has that speed. And I watched him at the Senior Bowl as well. So I guess it doesn't, you know, I'm just kind of used to it in that respect. He certainly had the speed on that 45 yarder. I mean, he was behind the defense or behind whoever was covering him to get open enough for Trubisky to fire that. So, yeah, the speed wasn't the issue. He just got to finish these plays.
All right. I imagine it was obviously Deontay, Allen Robinson, and George Pickens. Anything notable to talk about those three?
You know, I should know with George Pickens, and I don't know if this is my report or not. I should add it and tweet it out. I just saw some motion from George Pickens, some of the pre-snap, whether it's that orbit return motion, but just kind of him looking comfortable and not being so static. And we kind of saw that the end of last year, the last couple of weeks, about him moving around and running a bit more varied of a route tree. And so he had a catch on a curl route from against Patrick Peterson today. And it just kind of felt like he was, you know, moving around, and it's not a big thing, but just him being comfortable and, you know, motioning and just kind of not being static is a positive sign there. Good practice for Deontay, you know, past the injury scare. Allen Robinson, relatively nondescript, had one pass a little high off his hands, had a diving catch on a short, 5-yard dig later on in practice. One other note for guys kind of behind, Hakeem Butler, like Austin, a couple of passes that were a little bit high, but he's a big body, tall guy, off his frame, off his hands. And so that's a guy that needs to make those plays because he's supposed to be this big guy that can, you know, go over his head and come down with the football.
Right. Gunner on a wheel.
Yeah, Gunner on a wheel, your favorite. I even included that note in there on a wheel route, the Dave Bryan favorite. Now, that was off a fake jet motion action. And then as the play kind of extended, you convert that flat route off the jet action into a wheel. It was a linebacker, Mark Robinson, covering him, a really accurate throw from Mitch Trubisky. So nice catch from Olszewski. He got, you know, a fair amount of reps today, and we'll see what tomorrow holds.
What about the rest? Oh, boy, Jordan Birdie. Yeah, I know he's small, but they showed somebody had a snapshot of him standing alongside Butler, I think, a back view. the difference in, because Butler's like, what, 6'5", 6'6", and Bird is like, I don't know, 5'8", 5'9". Any of those other guys, anything to talk about down deep on the wide receiver depth chart?
Yeah, Bird had some return work. That's going to be his calling card. He was a really strong return man at San Diego State. He had one jet run today for about, I think, 14 yards. I had him down for going right to left. Cody White had a couple of nice catches. There was one especially nice juggling catch against James Pierre, left sideline, caught another one on a crosser over route for 15 or so yards. So Cody White's a guy that's versatile, trusted, special teams. You know, 53 is going to be still a challenge for him, but he's a guy that could still hang around the practice squad. And in a vacuum, in one day, Cody White was better than both Calvin Austin and Hakeem Butler.
Okay. Tight end position. Tell us, we'll go ahead and lump Connor Hayward in with that group there. Are they using them kind of as you would expect them to use him? And everybody's going to want to know about Darnell Washington.
Yeah, with Hayward, just to be clear, he's still with the tight end group. He's exclusively with the tight ends, and so he's not working individually with the running backs. And Jordan Bird, by the way, is working with the wide receivers, to my knowledge. And so he was a running back. He was really more running back than receiver in college, and now he's kind of going to transition to that wide receiver type of role. I don't know if I saw anything out of the ordinary with Hayward. I didn't see him necessarily get fullback work or anything like that. Again, it is day one. They're going to install, you know, and layer this thing over time, but he had a couple catches. Good day for him. For Washington, pretty quiet. Appeared to be the one miscommunication. Tanner Muse blitzed. It looked like Mason Rudolph wanted to throw hot on a short, you know, again, 5-yard dig to Washington. Never got his head around. Pass fell behind him and incomplete. So that was, to my knowledge, his only target of the day, and some miscommunication there. So I would say a pretty quiet day for Darnell Washington.
Yeah, I think Darnell kind of admitted it. He's still, you know, working through the playbook and trying to get a firmer grasp of it when he reported there. That's to be expected this time of year. Pat Freiermuth moving okay. I mean, it's obvious he's not on a PUP or anything like that. You know, late last season knee injury, and you know, I think he was over that pretty quick. But he looked healthy and good to go.
Yeah, he had a couple catches. He looked good. He was a full participant. I know he was a bit limited in the spring, and so good to see him out there. I want to examine it more tomorrow and maybe really focus on this for the preseason action. He's a guy that's probably going to stand up and play in the slot a lot this year. I think he got a couple of slot reps today, maybe had a catch or two out of that. So he's a guy that I don't want to say he'll be this team's, you know, true starting slot receiver, but he's a guy that's going to stand up and probably utilize that talent a fair bit in his third year. So I'm excited for that.
All right, good info there. All right, offensive line. Take us through the lines, if you will.
Let me actually pull that up. I'm a little rusty here. I forgot to get that up in front of me. No big surprises, and to note performance is really, really tough to do in a situation like this. But first team offensive line, Dan Moore, Isaac Seumalo, Mason Cole, James Daniels, Chukwuma Okorafor. That's me working left to right. Second team, Broderick Jones, Kevin Dotson, Kendrick Green, Nate Herbig, and LaRaven Clark. 13, Dylan Cook, Jared Williams, Ryan McCollum, Bill Dunkel, and Spencer Anderson. And I don't know if I saw anyone move around today on day number one. So those are the groups. Again, nothing that really is that notable. To see Jared Williams, who I believe is more of a tackle, play left guard. A little interesting there. Anderson out there at right tackle, but I think he was getting a lot of right tackle work in the spring. So we'll see how it develops. I'm sure they'll be moving and shaking going forward.
What'd you think about Omar Khan? Omar Khan was asked about the backup center position earlier in the day and said, hey, you know, we got a lot of guys that can, you know, potentially do this. And he mentioned, they're interested to see, you know, once the pads get on Ryan McCollum and all like that. But so far, I mean, that is what you said, right? I mean, there were three centers today. It was Cole, Kendrick Green, and Ryan McCollum. That's it. That's the list, right?
Yep, those are the centers working today. Cole first team, Green second team, McCollum third team. Could other guys get chances later on in camp? Certainly, whether that's Spencer Anderson, maybe even Nate Herbig, we'll have to wait and see. But right now, that's how the group was today.
All right, but not surprising when it cut, you know, Spencer Anderson getting first work at right tackle, right?
Yeah, I guess not because
where else are you going to put him? I guess where. The versatility. It'd be interesting to see if he does get kicked inside, you know, third practice or something like that.
Yeah. And there's an injury. He might get moved around. I thought maybe you'd see Williams at right tackle, Anderson go to left guard because Williams is a bit taller guy. But again, these guys will move around. So I'm not going to take too much inventory of that on day one.
All right, LaRaven Clark, have a LaRuff day.
Hey, you'll be here all week.
Hey, try to Ville. Tip your Kazora.
Yeah, tip your Kazora. I like that one for sure. We could talk about this more with Nick Herbig, but I thought some of the burst that Herbig showed off the ball was impressive, and that came at the expense of Clark. So I don't know if it was as much Herbig looking great as Clark was looking like LaRaven Clark, probably a bit of both, but I did notice that today, Clark probably having some trouble with Herbig's explosiveness off the football.
All right. And you did say Dylan Cook was the third string left tackle, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. He played right tackle, I think, mostly in college, but he's going to go left side now.
All right. Anything else to pass along? I mean, it's early stages. And Omar Khan said, look, you know, Broderick Jones is going to have to earn, you know, the number one tackle spot, yada, yada, all the stuff that you'd kind of expect GM speak, I guess, to be to open things up there. But, I guess for the most part, the lines, you know, no huge surprises there. We mentioned Jared Williams playing some guard there. But, and no pads on yet, so it's hard to kind of judge those groups, right?
Yeah, like I said, from an evaluation standpoint, I don't really have much there because no pads. It is a bit harder to watch offensive linemen in the middle of team. They're not doing O-line, D-line because they're not in pads. And so I watch, you know, 7-on-7 instead. So I don't really have a lot of insight in terms of how anybody did because A, it's day one, because, you know, B, they're not in pads. And we'll get more of that down the line, though, I promise.
Sure. All right, let's flip over to the defensive side. What about any Monty Potter?
I knew you were going to ask.
Potter bomb sightings.
I don't know if the
full Monty watch.
Full Monty, yeah. I don't know if I saw him get any reps offensively today. They really weren't doing a ton of eye form or anything like that with where a fullback would be required. I saw him out there, though. He was working with the running backs, and you know he's kind of the true de facto fullback on this team, but he's out there with Eddie Faulkner in individual sessions. So I'll try to keep an eye on that tomorrow. I didn't see anything notable on special teams, but I'm sure you can't miss that hair. I'm sure I'll see it at some point.
All right, let's flip over to the defensive line. You want to try to take us through the rotations there?
Yeah, nothing out of the ordinary. And there's some more mixing and matching. So it's a little bit harder to have like clean rotations as you kind of get with the offensive line. But obviously, Kim Hayward, Larry Okunjobi are starting defensive linemen. I don't know how much Montrevious Adams I saw today. I might have just missed it, but he's not in my notes a lot. Keanu Benton getting a lot of second team nose tackle work and some sub package work as well out of the gate, which I thought was encouraging because he's a guy that I think this team is high on. His ability to rush the passer and maybe be more productive in the NFL than he was in college at Wisconsin. DeMarvin Leal, though, like I talked about him a million times, mentioned it on our preview, and so I really wanted to get eyes on Leal. It was everything. I mean, he was doing everything, whether that's base left defensive end in their 3-4 defense and their Okie front, whether that's a sub package, you know, 3-tech and nickel, he was doing that, even some left outside linebacker standing up. And so he was, you know, Truder's Ward, positionless, playing everything, maybe a bit more, I would say probably more hand down defensive lineman than standing up outside linebacker, but he was doing it all today.
I know it's hard to remember back to a year ago, but do you notice, you know, from you know, build or weight or does he look a little bit more filled out or can you even remember?
Yeah, it's hard to remember, and I'm really bad with those things. He does look good. I mean, he looks built, and he looks the part, so I don't know if that was my impression a year ago. He was probably heavier a year ago just because he was being used as like a full-time defense lineman during his first camp, and so he's probably slimmed down a little bit, but I mean, he carries that weight exceptionally well. The dude's a crazy athlete. I mean, he was doing backflips in high school, so he's just like one of those athletes that never has any bad weight on him.
All right, Fehoko, more inside over the nose from what you could tell early on?
Yeah, he was getting probably safer to say he was third string nose tackle with Fehoko. Armand Watts probably playing a bit more end. I have to check my notes on where I
that
had.
That was going to be my next question. Was he kind of more four-eye kind?
Yeah, and the one note I have of him, I have him as a left defensive end in Pittsburgh's base 3-4. So the one rep I charted or noted, it was Watts, left defensive end, Fehoko, nose tackle, Manny Jones at right defensive end. So that makes more sense. Watts has the length to play out. And a different number, too, on the Steelers team site, on publicly, he's 68, but he's actually wearing number 94. So I was a little confused at first, but he's wearing number 94.
All right. I'm willing to bet, barring injuries or whatnot, he's probably going to be more kicked out to the outside than moving forward.
I would think so. When you got Adams and Benton and Fehoko at nose tackle, getting four nose tackles reps just seems fruitless. They need some, you know, four-eye kind of depth. So I think Watts, he can do both. He's actually been more interior in the past, but I think he's a guy that can play, you know, defensive end in Pittsburgh scheme.
All right, let's go to the inside linebackers next. Obviously, a rebuilt room with a lot of new people in there. Sans Mark Robinson. How about that group today?
Yeah, just from a line standpoint, Cole Holcomb and Landon Roberts are two starting inside linebackers. No dime packages today, so we don't know who the one linebacker was, but we can assume that would be Cole Holcomb. Second team, kind of interesting, Mark Robinson and Chappelle Russell. I don't think many people were expecting to hear about Chappelle Russell today, but he was getting second team work over Tanner Muse and Nick Witowski. So Mark Robinson getting those second team reps, interesting as well, based off of Austin's comments and all that kind of stuff. So I was encouraged to see Robinson, you know, be working ahead of those guys on day one.
And I think the big news, obviously, positive news was Cole Holcomb, you know, starting training camp, not on PUP or anything like that, which means he should be good to move around out there. You know, I'm assuming he looked pretty fluid out there.
Yeah, he was good. Now, like I mentioned earlier, Kenny Pickett in 7-on-7 threw over his head. It was McFarland split out left sideline running a 9 route. Holcomb trying to run with him, turned his head back, found the football, but jumped a bit early, mistimed it, and Pickett lobbed it over his head and caught by McFarland. But yeah, I mean, Holcomb looked 100% healthy today.
Tanner Muse still looked like one of those Planet Theory guys. You haven't seen him since. Was his combine during COVID or?
No, he was before that. I don't know if I was at a Senior Bowl because I've kind of missed a couple over the years, but he was a pre-COVID guy, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. All right. Going to be interesting to watch how that plays out between him and Nick Kwiatkowski. And it's kind of hard to read in between the lines what Omar said earlier in the day, asked about the linebacker room, said, look, we obviously brought in the guys that we like, you know, because, you know, we think they can help us, but kind of at the end of it, but he made sure to say, look, at, you know, basically any position, if we can help our roster, you know, we're not above going out and getting somebody else. I'm sure that'll be tacked on. A lot of people will interpret that mainly being the linebacker room because he was talking about linebackers at the time. But as we've kind of said throughout this offseason, we could foresee this team still adding a veteran piece for the right price if one came available, right?
Sure. Not going to rule that out. It was very much just kind of a standard non-answer from Omar Khan, but you're always going to leave that door open. You're never going to sit there and say, yes, we're getting a guy, or no, we're not going to get a guy or roster set. You never know what could happen based on who becomes available, injuries, how guys look during camp, during the preseason. So it's that the old Motel 6 commercial. We'll leave the light on for you. We're leaving the light on. That guy, you know, the story behind that guy is like really interesting. He was a fisherman, and I don't even sure how he became like a voiceover
Tom,
kind of guy.
Tom Baudet.
Yeah, is that his name? I saw an interview with him. Really interesting.
That shows you how good marketing is for you. I can remember that all these years, and I can still recite the Empire carpet commercial because they used to run that on all the Cubs games on WGN. You know, 5-8.
Empire.
Yeah. 2-300 Empire. There's marketing for you. let's see. Outside linebacker. First eyes on guys like David Perales and, more importantly, Nick Herbig. You got your Herbigs mixed up earlier, didn't you?
I did. Because what happened was I tweeted that, and I sat there and I said I had the wrong Herbig, didn't I? Then the play happened, so I had to take notes. I knew Twitter would kill me for it, so I apologize for the slip there. That was probably the first Tom Beaudet to outside linebacker review transition in podcast history, so congrats to us for that.
How did I handle it, all right?
Yeah, really good. I mean, nothing to compare it to. It's in first place, I guess, of transitions. But yeah, I mean, you know, again, those guys can be tough to evaluate. I say that a million times, but just the kind of the caution and context of the day for a padless practice. And these guys obviously can't touch the quarterbacks. But I thought, again, the burst that Herbig showed was intriguing. We know he's a good athlete, hair on fire kind of guy. Want to see him against somebody who's not a Raven Clark, who has issues with speed guys. But that's interesting. Behind that, probably less notes overall. I mean, in terms of who was running where, it was, of course, Watt Highsmith, first team, Herbig, left outside linebacker, Marcus Golden, right outside linebacker, second team. And then it was Perales and Toby and Duque, the rookie undrafted free agents from Fresno State, Sam Houston State, respectively, third team. And so that's what the lines look like to start things off. Once the pads come on, they do backs on backers. They do O-line, D-line, edge. We can evaluate those guys far better.
Yeah, especially into getting those preseason games, watch some of these guys coming off the edge there. All right, cornerback. Got a little, you know, once again, Mike Tomlin caution. Don't read too much into this rotation here, but it was some notable things stuck out in that.
I would say the cornerback had the most for us to talk about today of all the position groups to give analysis to. So Patrick Peterson, on that first play, that deep shot, maybe a little bit of that veteran tug on the back of George Pickens' jersey, but no reps were there when he found the ball and broke it up. So a nice rep there. He worked both left corner and slot corner. So on that first team session, first snap of it, he was left outside cornerback. About two snaps later, again, this is third and long, situational football. He bumps inside of the slot. Joey Porter comes in left cornerback. Levi Wallace is the right cornerback in all these scenarios and snaps here. So that was notable. Porter, a nice day. He certainly, I think, had the rep of the day defensively, 7-on-7, 1-on-1 against Calvin Austin with his speed, clamps him, you know, finds the ball, breaks it up, incomplete pass on a deep ball right sideline from Kenny Pickett. So Porter overall, good outing from him. And the slot corner today, when, you know, besides Peterson, was Duke Dawson getting reps there and some of this kind of base defense, but early in the team session, nickel defense. But there was a rotation there with Dawson, Peterson, Elijah Riley, and Trey Norwood all getting slot reps today. So there was a pretty clear division of labor, but to see Dawson first guy out there is, for us at least, pretty notable.
All right, and you didn't see much of Chandon Sullivan, or you missed him, or what?
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't see his jersey at all. I may have missed it. I don't recall seeing him. He's not in my notes at all, that number 34. So I'm going to watch him tomorrow. I'm not sure if I just missed it. I probably did. But you know, from what I saw from a slot corner standpoint, it was a lot of Dawson, some Peterson, some Riley, and a little bit of Trey Norwood.
Okay, and some also-rans, Luke Barku, the
XFL yeah,
came out of there. And Chris Wilcox is a former BY product, was, I think, wasn't he a draft pick? I think he was a draft pick too.
Yeah. Seventh rounder not by Pittsburgh, obviously, by somebody else.
Right.
Not a lot of notes on them. Barku had a, you know, breakup on a low pass from Rudolph to Olszewski. That's probably the biggest note there. Wilcox got maybe one or two reps. Don't have a lot on. Marjorie Harper was playing outside corner. I thought he was kind of more of a safety slot kind of guy, but he was getting outside corner reps. So that's something for me to know. Kenny Robinson getting some third team safety work. But yeah, I think the cornerback talk is going to be about Peterson, Porter, and that slot corner battle. Again, Elijah Riley, nice day for him. Versatile, the interception. That's a guy that certainly you want to, you know, think about going forward.
You think they view him more slot than they do safety now?
In a sense, because there's such a need at slot corner, there's more availability, more of a competition there. I mean, I think he's kind of a truer safety. That's what he was playing last year. I think he did more of that in Philadelphia. But I think because there's an opening there and he's got some size, they kind of want, I think Peterson is going to be the third down, pass down slot corner, because Porter's going to come on the field. But I think they're looking for that rundown type of slot corner. They had that in, I mean, Mike Hilton was in all situations guy, but he could play the run extremely well. Millett was that rundown corner. I think they're looking for somebody who can bang around against the run, and that's going to be Duke Dawson. That's kind of the book on him coming out of Florida, and Elijah Riley has that size. So I think they're looking for somebody to play on early downs inside the slot.
Okay, but you were impressed with a nice day for Porter, right?
Yeah, nice day for him on that. Again, that running step for step against Calvin Austin and 7-on-7 is a tough situation for any defender, any DB to be in, and he did a nice job there. Everything else looked good today. So again, just one day. I mean, what is also interesting with Porter is because what I noticed was, you know, one college interception that can be for a variety of reasons, but this guy was always catching the football today, whether that's he was the first defender out on the field, played soft toss with Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator, was on the jugs machine before practice. And even, I've never seen this before, and it's not a monumental point, but it's interesting. Even whenever they were in team 11v11, and there were times where Porter was on the field, and the defense always breaks the huddle before the offense, and so they would break, the offense still huddling, and you would see Austin and Porter play soft toss for two or three catches. And I just see the reps of him trying to, you know, catch the football as much as possible. I think because he didn't have that body of work in college, you're in a seamless scheme that wants to be aggressive, ball hawks, playmakers, 20 interceptions last season. So I just saw that with Porter. This guy was catching the football every opportunity he could.
Did you mention Trice at all?
I didn't. He got some work today. He was working, I don't know exactly how to classify it, kind of second team left corner. There's a bit of a rotation there, but he was working outside corner. He almost had a pick. There was a pass that went off of Akeem Butler's hands down the seam, and Trice couldn't catch the ricochet. But yeah, he was out there today, and he looked fine.
All right. Take us through the safeties here quickly to start wrapping us up.
Yeah, it was with Minkah Fitzpatrick not participating. It was DeMonte Casey and Keanu Neal running first team safety. Who do I have second team safety? I don't know exactly who I have here in my notes. I can try to find it here briefly. It was kind of a rotation of Norwood getting in there. Killebrew running a bit behind was like kind of third team with him and Kenny Robinson, but it was Casey and Neal to start things off. And don't have a lot of notes overall on how those guys did. For whatever it's worth, Minkah just playing that center field role, he was very vocal today, and just kind of watching it, able to instruct some of these young guys. So although he was not actually practicing, he was kind of an extra coach on the field.
All right. Do you have anything to pass along on the specialist?
Let's see. What do I have there? There was one low snap from Rex Sunahara during the punting special team session. So that's the note on that. I have some of the hang times and distances for the punters today, and Harvin and Mann thought both were fine. Not fantastic, not terrible. Just kind of, you know, as expected overall. Should note that with Marcus Allen now departed, Miles Killebrew working first team up back during the special teams, you know, full session with Elijah Riley and Trey Norwood as the wings. Benny Snell was one of those wings last year. So that's notable. So if a guy like Riley can be slot corner, starting wing, et cetera, that's going to help create a lot of value for him. And if Killebrew's going to be the up back, he's going to make this team.
All right. I don't want to play winners or losers, you know, especially right out of the chute here, but what was maybe the most unexpected, you know, top two or three things from the first day?
Yeah, that's always hard to answer because I don't necessarily go into camp expecting things. I just go in, you know, clean slate and let's see what happens because I don't want to have a lot of preconceived notions. You know, Duke Dawson getting the slot work, I think, is interesting. And, you know, I want to see how that, you know, continues. You know, Cody White making some plays. I don't know if there really was one thing that was super surprising in a good or bad way. It's just that first day to me. I just try to get lay of the land, depth chart, get familiar with some of these names and faces. And so whenever the pads come on and the evaluation truly begins, I'm kind of less scrambling to see, okay, who's this guy? Who's this guy? Where's this guy lining up? Should I look for where he's aligning? Is he getting moved around? So that's kind of what today was about, kind of more fact finding. But let me just look at my conclusions overall. Porter doing well. And then again, I may write about this for the morning. I know it seems super small, but just Pickens looked really comfortable out there. And it wasn't, you know, that he made these incredible catches he was making last year, which is kind of mossing guys. He'll do that this camp, I'm sure, at some point. But just in terms of motions and route tree, and just looked like it was natural to him. And I think a year ago, while he was making some incredible plays, it just kind of felt like he was a one-note kind of guy. And they're going to expand what he can do, what he can offer in 2023.
And a shorter practice today too, right? And probably some heat acclimation, humidity acclimation here at the start.
Yeah, that's a good point. The first day is usually a bit shorter, and the practices without pads seem to be a bit shorter as well. But yeah, I think with the heat, there was some weather rolling. I think Tim Rice just said it's storming pretty bad in Latrobe shortly after practice. Maybe there was a consideration there. But yeah, just three team sessions, no O-line, D-line. So they wrapped up at 3:30. So it was, in terms of like actual practice, it was pretty darn short, but still plenty for us to talk about.
All right. You'll be back out there, weather permitting, and all on Friday. And we'll be back Friday night to another one of these special edition podcasts, and pass along your thoughts on that. Any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
No, just glad to be back at camp. I'm getting my McChicken right after this, for those wondering. I had one guy come up and say hi to me today, Caleb, a nice guy to talk to. So thanks for that. And Tim Rice took some great photographs, so be sure to follow him and check out his work. And I think we'll have a post later today that kind of has the gallery of the day. And that's always a really cool vision and view and lens, literally and figuratively, into Pittsburgh's practice.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get those up well before midnight. He's already sent them over there. So shout out to Tim Rice for taking pictures for us again. And all right, with that, we'll get back after it tomorrow night. And in the meantime, you and I will do a morning Friday regular episode of the Terrible Podcast and talk about things Omar Khan said and Art Rooney and some of the players and all the normal stuff that goes along with a regular podcast. So until the morning or until tomorrow night. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast, a special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2023. Have a great night. Peace and love.